Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday. It's the 29th of June. This hour, recent census data has suggested an increase in the numbers of late-in-life divorces. We have two guests with us this hour to talk about what's being called gray divorce. The American Association of Retired People, AARP, did a recent study on the divorce experience, a study of divorce at midlife and beyond. And one of our guests has written a book about divorce. We have two guests with us. Erica Manfred is a journalist and author of He's History, You're Not, Surviving Divorce After the Age of 40. And she was divorced when she was 60 years old. She said, alone at 58, broke, traumatized, depressed, feeling like I'd never find a decent job, another man, or another life. Made me think about how many other women were in the same boat as me, or even worse boat. It made me think about who women turn to when they are getting divorced, no matter how old they are, their girlfriends, of course. And Erica, we thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Also joining us is Paul Amato. He is the Arnold and Betty Hoffman Professor of Family Sociology and Demography at Pennsylvania State University. And his special research and teaching interests are marital quality, causes and consequences of divorce, parent-child relationships over the life course, and psychological distress and well-being. Professor Amato, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
So let's start with some of these statistics. Are we seeing a great increase in the number of people age 40 and up who are getting divorced?
I think there has been an increase, but we need to keep in mind that divorce after, say, 40 years of marriage is still statistically quite rare. The latest data that we have comes from the American Community Survey, which was conducted in 2008. And if you look at those numbers, you'll find that of all the divorces in the United States that occurred in that year, only about 2% were among people who had been married for 40 years or longer. So it's a small number in absolute terms, although I think there is some evidence that it's becoming somewhat more common than it was.
I think 40 years is, only the tip of the iceberg. I think 20 years or more is a little more relevant to the group we're talking about. I think from what I've read, baby boomer divorce, more baby boomers are getting divorced than younger people. And that's the demographic that's affected by gray divorce now.
Mm-hmm.
And 40 years or more, I mean, many of us haven't lived that long enough to be married 40 years or more.
Yeah, it's a
but
long
there's
time.
A lot of people who have lived long enough to be married 20 years or more and who are over 50, let's say.
Right.
So I think that's a lot bigger group.
Yeah. I wonder how many people have been, Professor Amato, living or being married for 40 years or more. What percentage of the population that is?
Well, an increasing proportion of people are being married for that long because life expectancy is increasing. And I guess I use the 40-year cutting point because it's often raised because that's a situation that the Gores
right.
Are in. So I'm often asked that question about 40 years, but it is quite correct that if you were to lower the bar down to, say, 20 years of marriage, the proportion would be quite a bit higher.
Mm-hmm. That would indicate to me that people stay together because of children.
Oh, there's no doubt that they do. In fact, we know that when couples have children in a household, they're less likely to get divorced. Actually, a very good predictor of divorce is not having children. We know that a lot of divorces occur fairly early in marriages, usually before the children arrive. And then once children are on the scene, it seems to stabilize the marriage and protects it from divorce for at least a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is kind of empty nest divorce we're talking about.
Right.
Which is quite common when the kids leave. The couple turns around and said they don't know each other anymore. They've drifted apart. They don't see any point in staying together, and that's when they get divorced.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what happened to you. You were alone, you write, at 58, broke, traumatized, depressed. That's a terrible place to be.
Well, what happened to me is quite common. My, my marriage kind of, was not that great. It wasn't getting better. We actually adopted a child when I was pretty old, which is unusual. However, the breakup of the marriage was a very old story. My husband fell in love with a coworker. And that happens more often than not. I mean, when I did my book, I heard that story over and over. Because that's who people meet, their coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who he left me for. And it was quite disastrous.
We also hear
that it's 25 years younger than me.
25 years younger. Ooh. We hear about that a lot, Professor Amato. Does that happen frequently, that if a man institutes a divorce, it's for a younger woman?
Yes, it's probably more common than we would hope. I should say that we've done quite a bit of research where we've interviewed divorced people, and we asked them, well, why did you get divorced? I mean, you know, what happened? And there's lots of reasons for getting divorced, but the reason that comes up most commonly is infidelity. People say that one of the spouses had an affair, or one of the spouses wants to break up the marriage so they can be with someone else. And this does happen among both men and women, but men are more likely to break up a marriage because of infidelity than wives are.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true that they do pick younger women. That is true.
Why?
Well, the AARP study was very interesting because it showed that, and also this was borne out by Deirdre Baird, who did a book on late-life divorce and interviewed like 1,500 people, that most late-life marriages divorces are initiated by the wife, not the husband.
Yeah, I saw that. I was surprised.
One of the big reasons is infidelity of the husband.
Oh.
You know, many of them have been putting up with it for years. And then the kids grow up, leave home, and they say, this is it. I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
Right.
And there's a lot of emotional estrangement that women credit as well for the reason for their divorce. You know, men are more apt to put up with emotional estrangement and are less bothered by it. But women at a certain age want emotional connection, and they're not willing to just put up with it forever.
Were you working at the time of your divorce?
Well, I was a freelance writer, but I certainly wasn't making much money, and I was more or less depending on his income.
Right.
So I kind of had to scramble to find a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a survivor, and somehow I managed.
Yeah, I guess you did.
There are a lot of tactics women can use that I recommend in my book.
And you say that women turn to their girlfriends for help.
Yes, I really think women, too. Women always turn to their girlfriends. And when I get divorced, I turn to a girlfriend who'd already been divorced and who'd been through it and kind of, you know, led me, you know, showed me the way. And there really is a very distinct path that you go through after divorce. And almost everyone goes through it, especially if it was a nasty divorce like mine or a conflicted divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really helpful to have a girlfriend. And that's why I wrote the book. I kind of wanted to be girlfriend to the masses there.
Mm-hmm. Is it harder, Paul, for people to get divorced if they've been married for a long period of time?
I think it probably is, because there's certainly a lot more adjustment that has to be made.
Right.
Let me just comment on one thing. The study which found that in older marriages that end in divorce, the divorce is more likely to be initiated by a woman. That's actually true of all divorces, irrespective of the age of the spouses and how long the marriage has been going on. And in fact, this is a long-term pattern that goes way, way back in time. And the reason for that is, again, when we ask people why they get divorced, when women initiate divorces, they're very likely to refer to what we might call the bad behavior of their husbands. And the top three things they say are infidelity, alcohol or substance abuse, or violence. Once you take out all of those causes of divorce, then you find that men and women are about equally likely to initiate divorce.
Mm.
But a lot of divorces are initiated because husbands are badly behaved, there's no doubt. But I do think that what happens over a long period of time in these long-term marriages that may go on for 20 years or longer, not only do you have a long history with your house, but you have a lot of shared assets. in the form of owning a house together, maybe having a retirement account, having children, having shared friends. And I think the longer that you're together and the longer that you're building up these shared marital assets, the harder it is to break up and the more adjustment that people are going to have to go through. So that makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think also for older women, they're facing a huge disadvantage demographically in finding another mate. 50, 60-year-old women are really unlikely to get remarried. I mean, some do, but there's just a whole lot more women out there than men, and men want younger women.
Yes,
that's just the reality. And also, a lot of older women have been housewives, and they don't have careers. And if they did have a career, they left it to raise the kids.
Right.
So economically, they're at a disadvantage. And, often emotionally they're at a disadvantage because they've never really been on their own and they don't know how to take care of themselves. And they've always leaned on a man, especially older women. You know, I think the younger generation of women are much more independent. So I think they face a lot of, men become more attractive as they get older. Women become less attractive. So it's just much harder for women.
Hmm.
Well, I think that's right. The demographics really do work against older women. If a woman is divorced at 50 or 60, there's simply fewer single men to go around, and especially when we consider the fact that men tend to, anyway, in general, marry women who are younger, and women tend to marry men who are older. And so the simple demographics really work against women. The older you get, the fewer men are in the population, and especially the fewer single men. That's really unfortunate because we know that one of the best predictors of people eventually adjusting to the divorce and getting over the divorce is to find a new partner, to establish a new relationship that really helps people to move on. And women are really disadvantaged, older women, in that respect, because it's simply harder for them to find eligible men out there.
Right. Well, maybe many of them just want to be on their own, too. That's okay, isn't it?
Well, of course, yes. That's really whatever a person wants. If they achieve that, that's fine. If a woman wants to just be alone and not have a partner but have a strong circle of friends, and she can have a very meaningful life, and happy life. But a lot of people do want to repartner. A lot of people do miss having a spouse in the house and someone who they can share their daily lives with. And for those women, it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. And what's been your history with that, Erica?
Well, I've had... good luck and bad. I mean, after my marriage broke up, I did some internet dating, and I had, fun, and I had a couple of affairs, which didn't work out because the men wound up marrying younger women. I don't know if it was the age, my age, or, the timing, but at a certain point, I felt like I'd aged out of internet dating, and there wasn't much else. And I just kind of resigned myself to being on my own, which has been fine for me. I mean, it hasn't been all that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a fairly independent, self-sufficient person. There are a lot of women who find it very difficult.
Yeah. I don't understand this age difference thing. It seems to me if you're looking for a partner, a life partner, you'd want somebody who's close to your age because you've shared so many of the same, historical memories. And I remember when I was in college and the Vietnam War thing was going on, that you would want somebody who's gone through the same period of life as you. Evidently not, Paul. So why is that?
Well, it's a curious phenomenon. Let's just say that there are some things that are working in the favor of older men. They meet in their 50s and 60s. For one thing, as Erica mentioned, we do have this sort of social norm or perception that men retain their attractiveness well into their older ages, more so than women do. So you have a guy who's 50 or 60. If he's fairly fit and has most of his hair, he probably looks pretty good. He's also at the top of his earning potential.
Oh.
He's in the 50s. In particular, are when men are earning their highest income of their lifetimes. Once they get into their 60s and 70s and they start shifting into retirement, of course, their earnings decline. But in their 50s, men are at the top of their careers, they're at the top of their income earning potential, and also in terms of attracting a younger woman, you know, keep in mind that, you know, men are biologically fertile right up into, you know, very old ages. So a younger woman, maybe even a woman who's 30, might be attracted to an older man because if she's childless, she can still have a child. She's going to have a good standard of living because he's at the top of his career. Those are sort of advantages that allow men to attract younger women. But the problem is, in the long run, this does backfire against a lot of men, because you're absolutely right about the importance of two people having similar attitudes and tastes and life experiences. And when men marry women who are a lot younger than they are, say more than 10 years, that's actually a risk factor for divorce.
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh. So some of these guys may be dating, or going out with, or marrying women 25 years later, but they are actually in a high-risk category for divorce because those marriages just don't tend to work out because I think the couples have a hard time communicating.
Right. What do you talk about at dinner?
Yeah, I found that a lot of men that I met wanted women, let's say, at least 5 years younger than them and up to 10. And, you know, which is probably not a terrible spread in ages. But for women, it's very difficult because unless you're 10 years older than the large demographic of single men out there, I mean, 10 years younger, it's very difficult to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of quantified this by when I interviewed a lot of women, and I found that women in their 50s had a relatively easy time of it. Once a woman hit 60, 55 or 60, it became almost impossible. And I think this is because of the who hits the baby boom first. You know, there are a lot of baby boomers who are 60, 60 to 50. So women in their 50s can find men in their 60s. But women in their 60s, you know, there are barely any men in their 70s who exist. Men die older, you know, men die younger than women, and they want women in their 50s. So, you know, if you do the math,
right,
there's not many men out there for women in their late 50s or 60s.
Yeah. Well, what's happened with women on the job, though, Paul? You can also be a pretty fit, got a full head of hair woman who's at the height of her earning power in her 50s, right? So does she get younger guys, or is she more attractive to somebody her own age?
Well, possibly. I should say that there's been an interesting shift in the last couple of decades in which women who are highly educated, who have high-status jobs and who earn high incomes, are really sought after on the marriage market. They tend to get snapped up fairly quickly. 20 years ago or a generation ago, a lot of men might have found that threatening, to marry a very successful woman. But that's changed now, and that's become a plus.
I find that amazing and wonderful. You know, I've noticed that with friends in their 40s, you know, that women have to be successful to find a guy, and I think that's terrific.
Yeah, it does help, and it is a good thing, too.
Yeah.
It means that when these women do marry, the husbands aren't feeling threatened by it. In fact, our research shows that the husbands like it. They really appreciate the wife's social status and her contributions to the household income, and they have a higher standard of living. So these women are very attractive on the marriage market. The problem is for a certain generation of women, especially older women, they got married at a time when it wasn't quite as common for women to obtain college degrees, to have full-time jobs, to have careers, and so they are disadvantaged. As you go to the younger ages, it's not so much of a problem, but a lot of older women who maybe just, you know, didn't quit their jobs when they got married so they could become full-time homemakers and mothers and maybe work part-time are really disadvantaged when they go back and try to find a job because they really lost a lot of their job skills over all those years because
right.
of the sacrifices they made for their husband and for their children.
We're going to welcome phone calls for our guests, Paul Amato, Arnold and Betty Hoffman, Professor of Family Sociology and Demography at Penn State University, Erica Manfred, journalist and author of He's History, You're Not, Surviving Divorce After 40, which indeed she did. She was divorced at the age of 60. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. 8655. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Some of you, I'm sure, listening have found yourselves in the situation that we're talking about. I'm still wondering the answer of why it is that men find younger women much more attractive, and what our guest said was really confirmed that that's going on all the time. We see that, you know, Rush Limbaugh, wife number, what, three or four, incredibly many years younger than he is. It strikes me, there's something, I look at that, men who are with much younger women, and it's so common, and it always makes me cringe. I wonder, and they can be perfectly fine, intelligent women, but what's going on with that? You know, it's okay to be the same age as your wife, isn't it? Think it must be. All right, let's go to your phone calls. We'll take them in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, our phone lines have just lit up. Let's go to Tina for our first call. Hi, Tina.
Hi. Yeah, you talked a little bit about the reason that women stay in a marriage because of the children. And I know a lot of people are identifying with that right now. What would you advise them to do? You know, they don't want to lose their kids for the holidays and share, and they want to keep, you know, protect them. So, you know, what do you tell these women that are kind of hanging in there?
I wrote quite a bit about that in the book. I mean, when you have older grown children, a lot of women assume that, you know, they're on their own. Divorce is not a big deal to them. It's okay to leave when the children are grown. However, grown children are traumatized by divorce, just like younger children. And, you know, if you get divorced and you want to keep your children on the holidays, all I have to say is good luck. It's not going to happen. Divorce is like, you know, shooting a gun into your life, and you don't know what the result is going to be. The court weighs in, your husband weighs in. There are absolutely no guarantees as to how it's going to work out. It may work out fine, and it may not. And I think that's why people hold on.
Mm. Professor Amato.
Yes, I would just add to that it's a difficult decision for a woman who's in a marriage and she's unhappy, but she has children and she doesn't want to break up the family. She's concerned about the effects of the divorce on her children. What should she do? That's often a very difficult decision. I think there's one clear-cut case. If a woman is in a marriage where a man is violent, and I'm not just talking about, you know, maybe one or two incidences over the course of a marriage where an argument gets out of control and, you know, he pushes her or something like that. I'm talking about a long-term pattern of intimidating, violent, aggressive behavior. You know, it's best just to get out of it.
Right, get out, yes.
Because you're not doing your kids any favor by keeping that marriage together. In fact, just the opposite. So in those kind of situations where the husband has a very serious problem like that, which could harm be harmful to the children, then the decision becomes much clearer. But if it's simply a marriage where, you know, there's no violence, he's not really a bad guy, you've just fallen out of love, you've drifted apart, you're not happy anymore, it's much more difficult then. And then I think the kid's well-being does have to kind of factor into it a bit more.
And why is it that it's difficult for children who are grown? They have their own lives. What's the problem?
Yeah, well, you would think that. But interestingly enough, grown children, you know, everybody assumes that they have their own lives and they have memories. It's like your whole past is being destroyed. You have a memory of a childhood that's no longer that memory anymore.
I see. Yeah.
You have to realize that your whole life was a sham. Mm. Often parents have been pretending, keeping it together for the sake of the kids. The kids find out and they say, "Oh my God, I thought I had a happy childhood, but I didn't." And then often parents, probably more often than you'd like to think, will start encouraging the kids to take sides, especially if there's been an infidelity. And there's a lot of pressure on them to support one parent or the other. There's also pressure on children to support a parent who's falling apart on a grown child, especially on daughters and mothers. You know, if the mother's falling apart, she's going to lean on her daughter, and all of a sudden the daughter becomes the mother.
Right.
Whole families fall apart and take sides. People no longer speak to their in-laws, their cousins, their uncles. You know, a family that was a family is now just a fractured mess.
Aww.
You know, and you have to consider when you get married, who's going to sit where, who are you going to invite to what. You know, all these events that should be fun, something to look forward to, a great occasion, become fraught with all kinds of anxiety. I mean, there are countless problems that people just don't think about.
Paul, you want to amplify? Or?
Well, I just like to say that I think that's absolutely right. I agree completely. And there's a lot of research that backs that up, too, that older children, after they've left the parental home, say they're in their 20s or 30s, and a divorce comes along, it's still very hard for them to deal with that. It's still very upsetting. There's really no good age at which to experience a parental divorce. It's always going to cause some upset, some turmoil in people's lives. We see this in our college students, where we'll have some, you know, I've had many college students at Penn State, where I teach, approach me and say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just doing poorly in this class because I found out last month that my parents are getting a divorce.
Mm.
And I'm just having a hard time dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a counselor, but I do try to talk to these students and give them some suggestions. But we have to realize that the effects of the parental divorce extend even to children who have left the parental home and are now in school or working or even in marriages of their own.
Doesn't it make a difference that it's so common?
It doesn't seem to help because you think everyone knows that divorce is common, but no one thinks it's going to happen to them. And often when it does, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
In some cases, the parents haven't really had a terrible marriage in the sense that they haven't been fighting and screaming at each other, hitting each other. They've had a fairly civilized relationship, even though perhaps there's no love left in it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the children are protected from that, and they think everything's fine. And then suddenly they discover their parents are getting divorced, and they think, what happened?
Right.
Where did this come from? It takes a lot of these people by surprise, and that makes it much harder to adjust to.
Even a name for it, I found out, that college kids call it the freshman call.
Oh, my goodness.
When your parents call
it's that common.
To tell you they're getting divorced.
The freshman call.
Call, right.
Oh. Let's go to Brenda in Dubuque. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. This is, I guess, kind of piggybacking on the subject already. I had a divorce 5 years ago after 34 years, and I've moved on nicely, but now it seems like my two daughters, who are adults and both in their mid-30s, are suddenly, you know, kind of in it's like they're acting out now, if acting out is even a word to use. And I'm not finding any good books on adult children of adult children of divorce, and wondering if they have.
There are a couple. There is a book called The Way We Were by, I can't remember her name, but it's a wonderful book by an adult child of divorce.
Oh, great.
And I think you'll find that very helpful. There is another one, the name escapes me, but if I remember during the show, I'll tell you what it is. But The Way We Were is terrific.
How are they acting out? What are they doing, Brenda?
Well, they're just kind of closing up. And, you know, initially they were very supportive, incredibly supportive. And it was because it's like the demographics that you were talking about just fit exactly for me. It was infidelity on my husband or ex-husband's part, and alcoholism and verbal abuse.
Mm.
And so they weren't even really all that surprised about the divorce initially, and they were very, very supportive. And I think it's been now, since I've gotten remarried, that they're kind of like, well, you know, they're not so available. They both live far away, not, you know, they're not like in the same neighborhood or anything. And so it's, of course, more difficult to see them more often, but a mom knows when there's a switch.
Mm-hmm. They may have felt after the divorce that a lot of your emotional travails landed on them. Mm-hmm. You may have depended on them then, and now they feel, well, you've got it together, you're on your own, you don't need them anymore. Time for them to move on with their own lives. Something that you might want to talk to them about.
Yes, I do. And it's difficult when it's a long distance. It's always
better if
you can't face-to-face. But
have a cup of coffee.
I thought if I could get a book, that would help too, though.
The
well,
author,
the
too.
We
Chrissy.
It's terrific.
Yeah, Chrissy found the author, too. It's The Way We Were, Dealing with Your Parents' Divorce After a Lifetime of Marriage, Brooke Leah Foster.
Right.
Brooke Leah Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. You want to chime in on this, Paul?
I'm sorry.
Do you want to
lost the signal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. But you lost us for a while. All right, we'll just go to another phone call because we can't reiterate all of that. Michael in Fond du Lac. Hi.
Morning.
Hi.
I would just like to comment. I'm one of those peculiar 57. Well, I'll be 57 July the 7th. Males who was searching for a mate. I've found one who is 6 months younger than I am. She fits the demographic that one of your guests commented on. She's professional and well-educated and so on and so forth. But the thing the one thing that I made up my mind about when I was looking for a mate in various places is I had a criteria that anyone I would be interested in would have had to have been at least alive in February of 1964 when the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, thinking that, if a person is too much younger than someone else, there's just not that, and you mentioned it, there's not a collection of common shared experiences there where one party could talk to the other, the older party could talk to the younger party about something that they had experienced in life, and they don't know what the hell you're talking about, and so that sort of puts the kibosh on a lot of things. I think it's men that go looking for younger women that are too much younger than themselves are probably playing with dynamite, and they're going to be rather disappointed in the long run. The relationship will have stresses and strains in it due to the absence of shared common experiences that came just through living, just from being around, roughly contemporary and so forth.
Right.
So that's what I had to say, and your comments, please.
I'm glad you called. Thanks so much. Professor Motto?
Well, I think those were excellent points that the caller made, and I couldn't agree more. If you are a man and you find yourself single when you're in your late 40s or 50s or 60s, it might be tempting to try to find a woman who's 20 years younger than you. But as I said before, those relationships tend to not be very stable. And if it results in marriage, you're really at a high risk of divorce because the marriage might seem fine at first, but after a while, people don't know what to talk about. They don't have the shared memories. And if you can, if you both remember the Beatles when they came to the U.S., and you can talk about that, and you've got this whole collection of, shared memories, things you can talk about. And, as people age, too, they have different perspectives on life. And you can be really out of sync if you and your spouse are 20 years apart in terms of what you value, in terms of what you think is important. So a good advice would be, marry someone within 5 years of you. Of your age, certainly no more than 10.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, things start to get really dicey.
Hmm. How do you like that advice, Erica? That sounds...
Okay. I totally agree. But, of course, it's not all that helpful to women in their late 50s and 60s because they're hardly 5 years younger than anybody. And, just a slight skew for women puts them out of the running.
Yeah.
But
there's nothing they can do about that.
You pretty much have to accept that demographics are demographics. And my generation, the reality is that 50,000 men died in Vietnam. There's a whole generation of men that it was decimated. And there's a lot of guys that just aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
But younger women, I think they can definitely find, you know, find love and remarry.
Let's go to Heather in Milwaukee. Hello, Heather.
Hi. I just want to introduce the idea of a good divorce to the conversation.
Okay.
In the sense that my ex-husband and I chose to get divorced because our marriage, we were living what we called parallel lives, and it was clear, we were pretty young, I'm trying to think, we were just 40, I guess, but it was, and we had a small son, but it was clear that he had a different vision of his future, and I had a different vision of my future, and we didn't want, we couldn't change for one another. So we spent a lot of time in counseling after we decided to get divorced to try to figure out how to create a good environment for our son, a healthy life for him. And we live a mile apart from each other. We share all responsibilities. We learned to communicate much better through counseling after we got divorced than we ever did when we were married. And I do think that there's a possibility of going into it with optimism and hope and thinking about how you can manage a good life rather than see it as total dissolution and destruction.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, people who do that, I mean, I really look up to them. I have a neighbor who has a divorce like that, and I just think it's terrific. They celebrate holidays together. The kids go back and forth at will. There's no animosity. They're best friends.
Yeah.
It's
exactly
wonderful.
How it is.
It just is not probably all that common.
Well, you know,
I don't really know how common it is, but I think it's great if you can do it.
I don't think it's all that common, but I also think it's not unique. You know, it is possible. And if you put, and granted, this sounds very cliche, but if you really put the kids first, I mean, they didn't do anything to screw up. We did, right? So if you really put them first and try to remember that they're the center, then everything else kind of falls away. At least it can, if you're lucky. And I'm not saying that that's easy for everybody. But you know, for the woman who called and said, you know, should I stay in this or not? Yeah, if your husband's abusive, you're not going to be able to get out of, create a divorce that's going to be any better than the marriage was. On the other hand, if it's a falling away like Tipper and Al, well, there's ways to do it that doesn't make everything collapse. And it can be very, I don't know, a new form of a family relationship, I think, a new family model. The happy divorce.
Professor Amato, you want to comment on this, the good divorce?
Yes. I think it's great that you've been able to do that. It shows a lot of dedication and commitment and responsibility to make this work. Unfortunately, most couples probably won't be able to pull that off successfully.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do. It's hard to have a good divorce. And when people can achieve it, it's wonderful, but it's hard to do. For example, we know that in about half of divorces, one partner wants the divorce and the other partner doesn't. They want the marriage to continue. And since we have unilateral divorce now in the great majority of states, the partner who wants out can simply get out. And the partner who is left behind is going to have a lot of feelings of abandonment, of feelings of being betrayed, and especially if this occurs in the context of infidelity. Boy, then, it's very hard to have a long-term cooperative relationship with your ex-spouse. A lot of marriages end badly, and that's just the fact of it. So it is possible to have a civilized divorce. It's probably never going to be the norm for most people.
Right. Yeah, but certainly something to look up to. I wanted to ask you, Erica, about your son. You said you, I believe, adopted a son later in life.
A daughter.
A daughter. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How is she faring?
Not well.
Oh.
But she had a lot of problems, as many adopted children do. And it's for her, it's kind of hard to sort out which problems she was born with and which were the result of the divorce. But she credits a lot of her problems as a result of the divorce. You know, we had a very conflictual divorce, and I think she felt torn apart by it. And it was not good for her, and she's still having a lot of problems. Some kids are, you know, I think it depends on the child. Some children are very resilient, and they can pretty much, you know, go through anything and survive. I have a former foster daughter who, you know, literally grew up on the street. She's doing better than my daughter.
Mm.
So I think it depends on the child. This particular child was pretty fragile, and the divorce pretty much did her in. Some children do a whole lot better.
Right.
And it really depends. And I think the caller who talked about the good divorce was totally right. The better a relationship you're able to maintain with your ex, the better it is for the kids. But, you know, raising a special needs child in a conflictual divorce is extremely difficult.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Gray divorce, our subject this hour. Our guest, Erica Manfred, a journalist and author. He's History, You're Not, Surviving Divorce After 40. She was divorced when she was 60. Paul Amato is a professor of family sociology and demography at Pennsylvania State University. And thank you, Heather, for your call. We have one line open if you'd like to take it, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow after 10, we're going to be discussing the life and work of Thomas Edison. Time's current cover story is their 9th annual history issue, and it focuses on Edison's contribution to science, business, and industry. Thomas Edison's great-grandson, David Sloan, a professor of English at the University of New Haven, will be joining us tomorrow. Also, the author of Empires of Light will join us, so it should be a great show. You can also join us on Facebook. Search for the Kathleen Dunn Show, and if you become a fan of the program, you'll have a chance to win free books that we've covered recently. Hey, how's this? A little contest. Nothing wrong with a little contest. It's not really a contest. You might get a book. And this will happen once we hit the 1,000 fan mark. And we're getting very close to that. We'll randomly select individuals and give them some free reading material. What fun, huh? With a capital F-U-N. I mean, that's a capital F-N, capital U, capital N. So it's capitalized fun. So that's the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook. All right, we return to phone calls. Gray divorce is our topic, and let's go to John from Brown County. Hi, John.
Good morning. I wanted to know if you would comment on divorce rates among military veterans and their spouses. I was on active duty for 5 years, and my wife and I returned home to the city where we both grew up. Since then, she has now become the breadwinner. I am unemployed.
Mm.
Transition has not been easy from military life to civilian. And now she has said that, you know, she has discovered herself, she's close to her family, and she no longer wants to be married. And I will take your comments.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Paul?
Well, there's no doubt that the military can be hard on families and hard on marriages. Military personnel do have a higher rate of divorce than civilians. And it's not hard to see why. There's long separations involved, especially in times of war, which we're in now, and men, or sometimes women these days, you know, are in combat zones and they come back. It's hard to get back into married life. You've got a lot of stresses. And then the transition to civilian life creates, you know, new and additional challenges. So the whole military scene is tricky for marriages. Now, the military is actually doing a lot about this. They've instituted a lot of programs in recent years to provide marriage education and marriage counseling to military couples. But it is an issue. And I don't know. I can't give personal advice. I'm not a counselor. But your wife may just need a bit more time to get through this transition. It's probably been a difficult transition for everyone. And, you know, sometimes just waiting is not bad advice, not a bad strategy.
And thanks for the call. Good luck to you. That sounds pretty hard. George is next. Hi, George.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. You were speaking earlier in the program about the difficulty of women, mature women, finding men. And why is that the case? And you both seemed, both the women on the program, seemed a little bit shocked. When I was learning adolescent psychology, we had a definition for adolescence. It's a period that starts at puberty and sometimes ends for men. And I think our mass media has a tremendous impact on conditioning males to look for trophies, trophy cars, trophy motorcycles, and trophy women. And one of the most popular shows on the mass media is Two and a Half Men, where the star is continually having affairs with younger women. And we are bombarded with this kind of thing on our television and in our advertising. If you simply look at the pictures of women in advertising, in the newspaper and on television and in the dramatic shows, they are all perfect tens. And one way we sell our products is to keep males adolescent.
I think that's so true. Very, very true. Women are not allowed to age in this society.
Yes, I agree. I think the media has a lot to, you know, has a lot of explaining to do. I think they've got a lot of bad karma. They certainly do increase this notion in our society that a woman has to be young to be attractive. And we know that actresses, for example, very well-known famous actresses, complain that as soon as they hit 40, they can't get good roles anymore. They're not going to get cast into romantic roles, for example. Those are reserved for actresses that are younger than 40. It's extremely unfair. It reinforces adolescent behavior on the part of men, and it distorts our understanding of, I think, real beauty and what's attractive and what we value in a partner. I've always told men, hey, you know, think about an older woman. I mean, older women have experience, they have wisdom, and a lot of them are just downright sexy. You know, don't think in terms of media images. Think about what's going to be good for you, and don't let age be an issue.
And they'll probably be around a little bit longer, too. I mean, it's kind of weird that this is happening because women live longer than men, so men should be marrying women who are slightly older than they are.
Sure. Well, that would be great. I'm for that. Let's start a new movement.
Okay. Let's go next to Vince from Madison. Hi, Vince.
Hi there. I was kind of struck by your older men, younger women comments. And I just wanted to chime in because I recently, I guess the idea that older men or older, I'm in my mid-40s, go looking for younger women is, for me, it's mistaken. I recently had a situation where I developed feelings for a much younger woman, and I believe a part of it was that I don't have contact with my male friends anymore for various reasons. They're all starting younger families or have younger families or involved in jobs. And I found that when I was spending time with this female friend who was younger, I was feeling optimism, feeling very upbeat and like anything was possible the way that I used to when I would hang out with my male friends back in high school. And just, you know, out of nowhere started seeing this person as someone that could help me with my life. And although my marriage is basically a good one, and I talked to my wife about this rather than let it fester and become a big problem and sidestepped this situation. But just wanted to say, you know, I'm not like, I need a younger woman. It just like developed kind of out of nowhere to my dismay.
So where are you still?
I spent time thinking about, well, okay, why?
Right.
Why do I feel this way towards this person?
Are you still married to your wife? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, you want to take this, Paul? We're running out of time.
We don't want to, you know, oversimplify and say that when men get older men get divorced, they always go out deliberately looking for a younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes a younger woman is looking for an older man because, as we said before, older men tend to be earning more money, they have more status, they're at the top of their game. And it is possible for these relationships to work out very well. They're going to have a few more challenges. But if these relationships where there's a lot of age difference are dealt with in an appropriate way with good communication, they can work very well.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Thank you both so much. It was a great hour. Erica, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Please check out Heath History. You're not.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Get that in.
Of course. And Paul Amato, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks to Christy Pease and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and to Chrissy for on-air production in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We're with you again tomorrow. Remember Thomas Edison, and we'll be talking with his great, won't that be fun, his great-grandson for part of the show. It's the cover story, History, on Time Magazine. This week. Until tomorrow, this is the Ideas Network.